Perek Lamed Dalet, chapter 34, Pasuk Aleph. What page? 181. 181?
Yeah.
180. The Old Testament. Book of Genesis. Chapter 34, Pasuk 1. Okay, last week we gave an introduction to this whole concept of Dina going out, what happened to her, and so on. Pasuk says, "Vatetzi," not to get into the actual story itself. "Vatetzi Dina," Dina went out. "Bas Lea," the daughter of. Here's water. What is that? Looks like coffee. Looks like coffee. Okay, Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out. Asher Yolda LeYaakov, which was born to Yaakov, which is a whole Megillah. Leah, who was the daughter of Leah, I'm sorry, Dina was the daughter of Leah, which Yaakov gave birth to. She went out, Lireis Bivnei Sa'aretz, to go see and check out the girls of the land. She wanted to go see how the girls of the land behaved, what their customs were, and therefore she went out. So right away Rashi says, why does it say Vateitzi Dina Basleya? What do you mean Basleya? She was Yaakov's daughter also. So Rashi explains, because she went out in the way that Leah went out. Later on in Chumash, in fact, also in this Parsha, there's a story that, it was before, with the Dudoyim. When Leah had Dudoyim, these flowers, so to speak. And Leah went out to meet Yaakov in the field, and she said, "You're coming to me tonight because I gave away the Dudoyim." Okay? So therefore, Leah had the tendency of going out, of being an outward socialite, and therefore Dina followed in her mother's footsteps. And that's where the expression goes, by the way, like mother, like daughter. This is where the expression comes from, that people say like mother, like daughter, is this expression about Dina, because the Medrash says that she went out just like the mother went out. Now, but nevertheless, over there it says that Leah went out. So they had the tendency. Now, she went out. Where did she go out from? So like we learned in the previous pasuk, Yaakov bought property outside the city. He bought property outside the city. So Dina went out from outside the city, and she went into the city to see the girls of the land. Now, the truth is, Dina just didn't go out. Shechem lured her out. And lured her out, got her to go out, because Shechem happened to see her. Shechem wanted her. So what did he do? He got a bunch of girls from Shechem to go play outside Dina's house. And then she wanted to go out to see, hey, who are these girls, you know, on the block? And once she went out, Shechem grabbed her and did with her what we'll soon learn he did with her.
How old was she?
She was 8 years old at the time. No, not really. I made it up.
No, how much? What's going on tonight? I mean, 8 years of the 8 years, or later on, you can watch this.
8 years? Oh.
Because we said that, yes, Chavka.
If Rivka got married at 3, why couldn't she?
No,
she was an old woman. Compared to him, she was an old
She was a senior citizen already. No. I'm saying Rivka was 3 and got married. So Dina at 8 is a senior citizen.
An old maid.
An old maid, yeah.
But you said for later on that Rivka could be 14 years.
That's one opinion. But Rashi says she was 3. 1 minute. I got it. So Dina, we'll see all the details. All we learned now is Dina went out to see how the girls are doing. Now, the Barbanel says in the Medrash that the problem was that Dina went out with bedecked in jewelry. You know, she went out with a lot of jewelry, which normally should have been worn inside the house. What happened over here is Dina went out, and as we'll soon learn, Shechem took and raped her, and so on. The Medrash says, Dina acted inappropriately over here, because Shlomo Melech does. David Melech says in Tilim, called Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima, that the glory of the king's daughter is when she's inside. She doesn't go out, especially in the olden times. Girls rarely went out. They were homebound. That was their modesty. That was their ultimate beauty. They shouldn't go out socializing and things like that. Another reason why the Torah says over here that she was the daughter of Leah, even though she was Yaakov's daughter too, because the Torah wants to emphasize that Shimon and Levi, the two brothers that saved her, were her complete, not half brothers, but complete brothers. So here the emphasis is on Leah, because Yaakov could be in Bilhah, Zilpah, Rachel's kids. He wants to emphasize that there were Leah's, she was Leah's child, because Shimon and Levi also came out of Leah. We'll see later why that's important. That deal is important. Okay, now, why does the Torah say, if so, Asher Yolda LeYaakov? Because L'cheira, we know that Leah was married to Yaakov. So if it says Dina, who is the daughter of Leah, went out, don't we know it was Yaakov's daughter? Why does the Torah say that she, which was born to Yaakov? So the Arachayim explains that the Torah is mentioning here a different point. She was a little girl. What got Shechem was not only her physical beauty, but the fact that she was Yaakov's daughter. Yaakov was a very prominent person. Yaakov was known to be wealthy, prominent. He fought with angels. I mean, everybody knew that Yaakov was a great person. So they said, Asher Yolda LeYaakov, not only did he realize it because of her beauty, he did it also because of the fact that he was Yaakov's daughter, that she was Yaakov's daughter. What did she do? To go out to see the daughters of the earth. Now, the Mefarshim ask, why did Yaakov deserve that his younger child, an 8-year-old kid, should be so punished? And to premise this point, the Rambam writes, and it's difficult to understand, but this is what the Rambam writes. God sometimes punishes people through their young children. In other words, until a child reaches the age of maturity, bar and bat mitzvah, they are basically considered the possessions of the father, of the parents. That's one of the reasons why, according to halacha, according to the Torah, a father can marry off his daughter if she's under 12, even if she doesn't want to. The father can marry off his daughter. Why? Because under the age of maturity, 12 and 13, the parents own the child, and it's their possession. And therefore, the Rambam does say the expression that sometimes Hashem punishes adults through by punishing their children. So why did Hashem punish Yaakov over here, that when, you know, with Dina? So he gives three reasons. One is, when Yaakov was by Laban's house, he said, "Let my integrity testify for me in the future." He spoke a little haughty on Yaakov Avinu's level, not on our level. On Yaakov Avinu's level, he said, "God, I'm going to be good even in the future." So because of that, Hashem wanted to show, don't talk so quickly like that.
Yaakov?
Yeah. Secondly, why was Yaakov punished? Like we learned before, when Yaakov met Esav, he hid Dina in a box. He didn't want Esav to see Dina, and why was Yaakov wrong? So it says, because if Yaakov would have allowed Dina to marry Esav, she would have made him into a tzaddik. Women have that power, by the way, turning you either way. They can make you good, they can make you bad. So if Dina would have married Esav, she would have made him into a tzaddik. So because of that, Yaakov was punished, that Dina was violated, so to speak. And the third thing he says, because before Yaakov Avinu said, he compared himself in a certain respect to the God of the world. Hashem in the higher realms, him in the lower worlds, and because of that, he was punished. Rashi adds another reason. Why was Yaakov punished with Dina? Because he waited in the city of Shechem. That's one of the reasons why, according to halacha, according to the Torah, a father can marry off his daughter if she's under 12, even if she doesn't want to. The father can marry off his daughter. Why? Because under the age of maturity, 12 and 13, the parents own the child, and it's their possession. And therefore, the Rambam does say the expression that sometimes Hashem punishes adults through by punishing their children. So why did Hashem punish Yaakov over here? That when, you know, with Leah, with Dina, so he gives three reasons. One is when Yaakov was by Laban's house, he said, "Let my integrity testify for me in the future." He spoke a little haughty on Yaakov Avinu's level, not on our level. On Yaakov Avinu's level, he said, "God, I'm going to be good even in the future." So because of that, Hashem wanted to show, don't talk so quickly like that.
Yaakov?
Yeah. Secondly, why was Yaakov punished? Like we learned before, when Yaakov met Esav, he hid Dina in a box. He didn't want Esav to see Dina, and why was Yaakov wrong? So it says, because if Yaakov would have allowed Dina to marry Esav, she would have made him into a tzaddik. Women have that power, by the way, turning you either way. They can make you good, they can make you bad. So if Dina would have married Esav, she would have made him into a tzaddik. So because of that, Yaakov was punished, that Dina was violated, so to speak. And the third thing he says, because before Yaakov Avinu said, he compared himself in a certain respect to the God of the world. Hashem in the higher realms, him in the lower worlds, and because of that, he was punished. Rashi adds another reason. Why was Yaakov punished with Dina? Because he waited in the city of Shechem for 18 months. In the city of Sukkot, which over this area, for 18 months. He knew his father was waiting for him. He was away already a long period of time. He should have gone straight home. The fact that he dallied a little bit, because of that, he was punished. Huh? He had to prepare himself probably to get back into the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You know, Yaakov Avinu, there are certain people that can change hats very easily. They can be in different environments and fit in the opposite environments, and they can fit in a second. In this environment, in a religious environment, the non-religious environment, this environment, there are certain people that can do that. You know why they can do that? Because they're nowhere. If you're nowhere, you can fit in everywhere. A person that belongs somewhere, like we mentioned last time, they're sitting that the Rebbe passed away. It took him years to become attached to the new Rebbe because it was a change of nature, a change of essence. You know, you give away your essence to somebody, all of a sudden you change. It's like people could be in and out of relationships 30 times a week, you know, or whatever it is. Why? Because they're in no relationship. They're nowhere. So Yaakov Avinu, coming, you have to understand where he's coming from. He's coming from 20 years of Lavan. You know what I mean? To come into Kedusha, he had to prepare himself.
Why can't he do something right? Can he punish
him? If somebody does something right, but it's not righter, then they're punished. If somebody does something good, but they should have done better, they're punished. Especially tzaddik. If a person could do better and they only did good, and that was from Yaakov Avinu's perspective, he did right by not running home. He wanted to prepare himself to go home. Back there to Israel, right, with all the Kedusha and so on. But on Yaakov Avinu's level, he should have realized that his father is waiting for him, should have precedence over him staying there. I'll give you a famous example that's brought down in Chassidus Shesvarim. Normally, before you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. You know that? You put on tefillin, you make a bracha. You put on tzitzis, you make a bracha. Before you bench lulav, you make any mitzvah you do, you make a bracha. One of the most important mitzvahs Jews have is the mitzvah of tzedakah. giving tzedakah, right? L'cha'eda, before you put a nickel, a dime, a quarter, a dollar into a pushka, or somebody comes to you and asks for money and you give him money, why don't you make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem akenu malachayim asher kachanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu litein tzedakah. Okay, we should make a bracha. I'm giving tzedakah. It's such an important mitzvah. Why didn't you make a bracha? Every mitzvah you make a bracha. Al netilas yadayim, you name it, legvoa mezuzah, you name a mitzvah, you do a bracha. Why don't you make a bracha on tzedakah? So there's a halachic answer and there's a chassidish answer. The simple halachic answer is you're dependent on somebody else. What does it mean? When you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Okay? So I'm going to take a quarter out of my pocket. I'm about to give it to the poor man, right? I'm going to have to make a bracha. What happens if the poor man says, forget it, I don't want it? So then you made a bracha in vain. A bracha, a mitzvah that you're dependent on somebody else, after you gave the quarter, you can't make a bracha, you did the mitzvah already. Right? 1 minute. What happens if there's a hole in the pushka? Did you ever see a Jew not take? Yes, by a pushka. When was the last time you saw a Jew not take?
Yesterday.
You're right.
It's happened.
Okay, but anyway, because you didn't give him enough, he didn't take. He'll take because he didn't give enough. Don't tell me anything. It's true. He didn't give him enough, they don't take. They rip up the check. Anyway, so the halachic reason is because you can't, a mitzvah that you're dependent on somebody else, you can't. That's why kibud av v'em, you don't make a bracha. Any mitzvah you're dependent on somebody else, l'cheir, if you're doing something to your parents, you're giving them food, you're honoring them, why don't you make a bracha? Any mitzvah you're connected, dependent on somebody else, you don't make a bracha. Because maybe, whatever, you want to give him a cup of tea, he declines it, and then you didn't do the mitzvah. So, you know, you don't make a bracha. That is the halachic answer. Then there's a chassidish answer. And that is, if somebody's going to want to make a bracha, you know, before you do a mitzvah, so chassid, before they go do a mitzvah, they have to wash their hands. And then they're going to make a bracha, they're going to put on their hat and jacket. And then they want to go to the mikveh. And then they're going to put on a gartel. By that time, the poor man's going to drop dead from hunger. When it's certain mitzvahs, when it comes to tzedakah, there's no time for brachas. There's no time to make a bracha. The guy needs the money, you give him the money, forget the bracha. Understand? The same thing is with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu over here is waiting to go back to his father. He wants to prepare himself, obviously, in Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha and so on and so forth. But Yaakov Avinu, on his level, should have understood. His father is waiting. There's no time for these preparations. There's no time for preparation. You just go and do the act itself. There's a story when the month of Elul with shofar blowing. There's a famous story when the Russians were fighting the French. In the 1800s, the Russian the French war. So there's a big fight amongst the Jewish leaders. I mentioned this already. There's a big fight amongst the Jewish leaders. Who should win, Russia or France? Many of the Alter Rebbe's colleagues wanted France to win, and Alter Rebbe wanted Russia to win. In those times, if France won, it would have been better physically for the Jews, but worse spiritually. And if Russia won, it would have been better spiritually, but worse physically. So there was a whole fight amongst the Jewish leaders. It boiled down in the spiritual realms, the Alter Rebbe versus, I think, the Baruch Mezhebuzhev, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. So I think it boiled down to whoever is going to blow shofar first and Rosh Hashanah, that side is going to win. That's what it was going to boil down to. So the other side got up early, Rosh Hashanah, the second you were allowed to daven. He zoomed through the davening and got the shofar blowing. Okay? To blow shofar first. The Alter Rebbe got up and blew shofar before davening. No preparation. You got to do something, you do it. That's it. You don't waste time. Preparation, this, that. Something has to get done, you do it. Nowhere. You can do whatever you want. Yeah, why not?
What was the
The bird measure bush. Yeah.
He's a
huh?
Why do children have to stop they have to get time to check on
the I don't know, that's God's I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, anyway, she went out to see Now, the Medrash says that Dina Taka always did stay home. But like we said before, Shechem lured her out by getting the girls on the block and to do it, to get her to come out. Okay, Vayareisa Pasik Beitz. Vayareisa Shechem ben Chamer HaChivi. Shechem, the son of Chamer the Chivi, who was Nasi Ha'aretz, the leader of the land, saw her. Vayikach Eisa, he took her. Vayishka Veisa, he laid with her. Vayaneh, and he violated her. And Rashi says the double expression was he did it in a normal way, in a not normal way, whatever, but he did it. The question over here is, why is he called here Chivi if he was really from the nation of Amedi? As in fact, later Yaakov says about Shechem, Asher lekachti miyad ha'Amedi b'charvi u'b'kashti. Shechem was from the nation of Amedi, not from Chivi. The seven nations in Canaan. Canaan, Chivi, we see in Davni. Amedi, he was really from Amedi. Why does he say Chivi? So it says in the Medrash, because Chivi is the Aramaic word for the snake. Nachash, in Aramaic, is Chivya. So in other words, Shechem acted in evil like the snake. So the Torah is not saying Achivi as the nation, but Achivi as his personality was similar to the person of the snake. Okay, Nasi Ha'aretz, Shechem was the leader, not Chamer. And the fact that the Rav Chaim says, why is the Torah telling us Nasi Ha'aretz, that he was the leader of the land? Because the obvious question is, if Dina was being violated, she definitely screamed. Why didn't anybody hear her? He was in the middle of the city. Why didn't anybody hear her? The answer is, they did hear her. But because Shechem was the leader, they didn't care what she was screaming. They just let it go. Vayikach Esa, and then Al-Rashi, the Mefarshim say the following. The Pasuk says three things. He took her, he laid with her, and he violated her. So the Mefarshim explained, Vayikach Esa means he took her with words. Like he says, K'chu imachem dvarim. He first seduced her with words, and then he did the other two things. He was waiting outside for her. No, he got her lured into the city, and then the city, he did it.
How old was he?
It doesn't say.
How do you know
about her? How do I know? Obviously, they were in the area, and he heard about her, and he found out about her, whatever. People know. You know who's them. Yeah, but nevertheless, the Mefarshim say he was aware of her anyway from either the conversation pieces or the people talking or whatever. They knew that he had a daughter. Okay, the Tidbak Nafshe, his soul became deeply attached. The Dina Bas Yaakov and Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. And here it says Bas Yaakov. Why over here does it say Bas, the daughter of Yaakov? So it says because the Radak says, number one, Bedina, because of her beauty, because she was Dina, and also because she was Bas Yaakov. And here the prominence is going to Yaakov. Now, the Ramban asks a question about Sarah. The Torah says she was beautiful. About Rivka, the Torah says she was beautiful. About Rachel, it says she was beautiful. Why doesn't the Torah tell about Dina that she was beautiful? So the Ramban says, the Torah does not describe negative qualities about somebody. In other words, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, their beauty was used in Kedusha, in holiness. Dina's beauty got her into trouble. So because Dina's beauty got her into trouble, the Torah is not going to mention the fact that she was beautiful, because that was a no-no, so to speak, compared to the other ones. It was a tragedy and so on and so forth. The Malbim explains the fact that it says that Tidbak Nafshei, his nefesh, his soul, showed that he had a very strong spiritual and emotional feelings to her. It was soul feelings that he had to her. Now, Vayavas HaNahayda, he loved the girl. Vayidaber alei vanayid, and he spoke to the and to the heart of the girl, to the girl's heart, meaning he spoke to her emotions. He said to her, the Gemara says, what Rashi says from the Gemara, what did he say to her? He said, look, your father just bought a small piece of property. He paid who knows how much money for Meik Sita. So if you marry me, you're going to have the whole land for free. You know, you're going to have all these gifts and all this money and all this stuff. Okay. Vayemer Shechem, so Shechem said, what? Vayemer Shechem, Shechem said, Al Chamer Oviv Lemer to Chamer his father. Now, why didn't he go himself? Because he thought if he goes through the father, it would work much better. You know, after all, you don't make a shidduch by yourself. The father should make the shidduch. So his Shechem goes to his father and says, hey, go make a shidduch with me with this girl. Kachli is a yalda zaisli, he should take for me this girl as a wife. And in a way, kachli means persuade them. Doesn't mean physically take, obviously, he wanted her to get permission. But kachli means take with persuasion this girl for a wife. Huh?
After the
yeah. Yeah. Now, the pasuk says the following. Okay, by the way, here it just says, Dina was about 8 years old by this time. Huh? Well, the Malbim explains that initially Shechem just wanted to satisfy his lust. He didn't lechatchila intend to marry her. But after he was with her, he wanted to marry her. What? He tried to console her. And as you can imagine, as the we're going to get to in the next passage, the Mefarshim hint, Dina wasn't just let home right away. She was in captivity for a few days, or for a day. And that's how we're going to find out in Pasuk K. Yaakov heard that his daughter, what happened to his daughter. How did he hear? So we'll soon learn the various Mefarshim that learn. One of them is that she was kidnapped. Okay? So you can imagine a young girl kidnapped, raped, held in prison. Okay, so he's trying to console her, you know, make her feel good. Said, "Don't worry, you'll marry me. I'll take care of you. You'll have a lot of money. You know, all these things." Okay, but Yaakov Shama, Yaakov heard. These are interesting psukim. Yaakov Shama, Yaakov heard ki tima is dina bite, that his daughter was defiled. Now the question is, how did Yaakov hear? So there's a number of explanations. One is, it became a commotion in the city. Like we'll soon see, when the brothers were speaking to Shechem, from the time of the flood, even the Goyim had the laws of adultery. Okay? They kept the laws of adultery, of immorality. Even though she wasn't a married woman, she was a single girl, but forcibly raping somebody is immoral. And that they accepted at the time of the flood. So it became a commotion. So in other words, nobody really could say anything at the time because he was the leader. But people were burchin, so to speak. People were making a commotion. The fact that Shechem did this immoral act. That's number one. And it also, because like he says, Dina didn't come home. So he understood, so he went to find out what happened. And Sefer Yosha, which is a Medrash, says that Yaakov sent two servants to Shechem's house to bring Dina back, and they threw him out. Shechem's people threw out the servants, and they saw that the way Shechem was making advances to her, so they understood, Yaakov understood what happened. Therefore Yaakov heard, Ubanev and his sons, Hayum Mikneil Basada, were with the cattle in the fields, so the brothers weren't there. Vehechrish Yaakov ad Bayam, and Yaakov remained silent until they came. Now, why did Yaakov remain silent until they came? So he says a number of reasons. Number one, Yaakov wanted to make sure that the brothers would be safe. if Yaakov would start fighting Shechem, start a war, the whole city of Shechem would gang up on the brothers. So Yaakov needed the brothers to come home, number one, for safety. Secondly, the Aruch Chaim says, obviously Yaakov sent for them and waited until they came. The Abarbanel suggests that Yaakov didn't send for them. Yaakov didn't send servants to get the brothers. What he did was, he waited until the brothers came home, because he knew the brothers were hot guys, you know, and they would go fight a war. So Yaakov didn't want to tell them anything. He waited until they came home. Another thing is that he wanted to, and it's an interesting point, as the Al-Sheikh and the Malbim explain over here, what happened is very simple. It happened already. She became defiled already. Okay? So now Yaakov Avinu had to think calmly. He needed time to think, Pashut, how to go about doing this. There's nothing he could do now to undo it. Because if it was a question of her becoming defiled, then Yaakov definitely would have done everything possible. If he fought an angel, he would go fight Shechem. I mean, he's not afraid of that. If Shimon and Levi could do it, Yaakov for sure could do it. But Yaakov Avinu said, listen, it was done already. I have to think how to go about. If it wasn't done yet, he would have stopped it. But he said, once it's done already, okay, now, it was done. Let's deal with it now. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu kept quiet until the brothers came. Yeah, but not the defiling. The defiling happened. And the proof of it was that Shechem asked to marry her. So he didn't do it again. Yeah. We'll see later. We're not there yet. We don't know what they did. You remind me of a story. There was this old man or lady, whichever one you want to look at. Used to learn Chumash every year. She went through the Parsha every year. And when she came to the story of Yosef and the brothers, she got very angry. She said, doesn't he remember the story from last year and again he makes the same mistake? I mean, we don't know the story of Shimon and Levi yet. Don't jump the gun. Okay. Ubnei Yaakov Bohm and Asada, Yaakov's children came from the field, Bishamah, when they heard what happened. They immediately came. The Mepharshim say, obviously, the story reached the fields. And the Rashbam brings out from the Medrash that they came to Yaakov's tent exactly when Shechem and Hamor came. So it was a meeting of everybody together coming at the same time. The people were very distressed. They became very, very angry. Thank you. Kinevala. First of all, he's here, he's the official page announcer. Don't take away his business, he'll sue you.
Baruch Hashem. It's 182.
We moved the page, Mazel Tov, we can make a party. They became very angry, because this was an outrage amongst the Yidden. Lishkav is Bas Yaakov, that somebody should live with Yaakov's daughter. This was the first time, historically, that it happened. And such a thing is not done. And as Rashi says, even by the nations it wasn't done, because from the flood they don't do this anymore. Why does it say Vayichol lehem ma'ed? So the Barbanel learns this term of anger. You know, sometimes you get angry, and sometimes you get angry that you're going to take revenge. This anger was a revengeful type of anger. And that's what the brothers got. Now it's interesting. This is the first time the Jews are called Yisrael. Ki neval asa bi Yisrael. The Jews are never called Yisrael before. So they bring down that the first time there was a struggle of Yaakov with the Malach, it was called Yisrael. When there's a struggle of immorality, the Jews are called Yisrael. In other words, the concept of Yisrael is to overcome all evil forces of immorality, of fighting evil, or whatever it may be. And that's why he uses the word Yisrael. Now, the Ramban learns it was only an outrage amongst the Jews, because by the Goyim they always did it. He argues in Rashi, because Rashi says even by the Goyim it was an outrage. But the Rashbam learns, he said, the Ramban learns it was only by the Jews. It was an outrage. Okay, v'chein le'yos is such a thing as intolerable, especially halachically for the nation. They weren't supposed to do it, and nobody was allowed to do it. It was undone. It was unheard of. By the way, one of the reasons why Shimon and Levi did come, I'm jumping the gun, why Shimon and Levi did go kill them, nobody can stand, go murder. Shechem committed the rape. What right did they have to kill out a whole city? I mean, where's decency? One guy doesn't have any, kill the whole city. It's not, the Vart is more than that. All the people of Shechem were, according to Halacha, Chayiv Misa. They're obligated capital punishment for this crime. Why? One of the seven Noahite laws, and if the Goyim have seven mitzvahs b'nei nech, the seven Noahite laws. If a Goy transgresses any of the seven Noahite laws, Torah says when the Jewish people had the jurisdiction, they got killed. For instance, one of the seven Noahite laws is not to steal. If a Goy stole, he got killed. If a guy ate a live limb off an animal, which Avim and Achai, which is also forbidden, to eat a live limb off an animal, if they did it, they got killed. Okay? So in the seven mitzvahs B'nai Neach, one of the seven laws of B'nai Neach is to set up a court system. One of the Zayin mitzvahs B'nai Neach is that Goyim have an obligation and a mitzvah to set up a judiciary system to keep law and order. When Shechem committed the adultery, which, by the way, forcible, it was committed, considered adultery. Shechem was supposed to be prosecuted by the people in the city. The fact that they didn't set up a court to prosecute Shechem, they were all liable of transgressing the mitzvah of setting up a court system. And because they didn't set up the court system, they were all obligated to get killed. So Shimon and Levi killed the whole city. The two of them killed the whole city.
What did they use for weapons?
Swords. Don't set up with them, man.
Nobody.
But there is still, but that's the thing. According to the seven Noahite laws, even if it's a king, you have an obligation, the country has an obligation to set up a court system, even for the king. Or for the leader, whoever it may be. And that's why the whole city, with the Gemara says, was obligated to get killed.
They were all Jewish?
Who?
All Egyptian.
No.
After they
no, just because they did risk, they didn't become Jewish.
They didn't raise their hand and be fenced?
Like he said, they first had them all circumcised. Yeah. And then the third day, when they were all weak, they went around and killed out the city.
You mentioned before that Shechem was in the Shambhal.
Reb Hanani ben Hanina ben Tradian. Yeah.
Why is it that
when we get there, I'll tell you. I'll answer your question when we get there. No, he said Pinchas killed out people. He was praised. Shimon and Levi killed out people committing adultery, and they were cursed. We'll see. It's a very good question, by the way. It's a very good question. When we get there, we'll discuss the difference between them and Pinchas. Okay. So he said, "Vayidaber Chamer itam leimer." Chamer spoke to them and said, "Shechem b'ni, Shechem my son." It's typical father trying to get a shidduch going. Shechem b'ni, Shechem my son, choshke nafshi bevitchem, desires your daughter. Tenu na'esa le'le isha, please give him to her as a wife. He wants her, please give it to him as a wife. And he says, v'yishchat na'esanu will intermarry with us. V'neiseichem titnu lanu, you'll give us your daughters. V'ez b'neiseinu, and our sons, tikhu lo'achem, you'll, I'm sorry. you give your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. And with us you'll see, you'll live. The land will be before you. Settle and trade in it. And acquire property in it. Meaning, Chamer spoke to the brothers. So the obvious question in the pasuk, why didn't he speak to Yaakov? Why is he speaking to the brothers? So the answer, like we said before, he met them outside the tent. They didn't even go into Yaakov yet. So the first Shalom Aleichem was with the brothers. So Chamer already started with the brothers negotiating.
Maybe he saw that if he could charge his father and Yaakov.
Because he saw the brothers were pretty angry.
Maybe he saw that Yaakov was not in charge, like this, the father is not in charge.
Yaakov was in charge. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But because they met him outside, so they started talking to him. By the way, the brothers were not much older than Dina. And how much older were they? They weren't that much older. They were all
13.
Shimon and Levi were bar mitzvah.
What is
Chamer?
No, no. Why
a donkey?
Yeah, no. But you said Lava and the Shimon is all the way up there. Why is this Chamer? Why is he called? Is there a reason, or just out of the blue?
Behavior like Chamer.
He's not Mashiach's donkey, that's for sure. Chamer is chumrius, corruption, mundane. Yeah. Is that a choice? I said, you know how many Jewish names are animals? Svi is a deer. Zev. Ayal. I mean, there's so many names. Come on.
So I can be grateful because I wasn't named after an animal, right?
Right, you could be very happy. But, it's better to be named after an animal than to be an animal.
Last I knew I had...
I didn't say you. I'm just saying a statement. Okay. I'm not saying anything. So basically they're saying, hey, you guys, let's get together. Let's, you know. In fact, the Mefarshim explain, look at the chutzpah of Chamer. They did a terrible thing. He doesn't come and apologize. He says, listen, guys, come on, let's get together. No apology. No nothing. All he says is, you know what? Let's get together. Let's intermarry. And the guy wants me, the girl, take it. Come on, let's go. I mean, that's why he's called a chamer. Because chamer felt or thought that if he legitimizes it through marriage, then everything is forgotten. Forgive and forget, you know. So that's what he wanted to accomplish. Now, the Barbanel explains, what's he saying, v'schatno isanu, you'll intermarry with us. So the Barbanel says, the fact that he says, we'll intermarry with you, meant that in the Shechem laws, they weren't allowed to intermarry with foreigners. Because if not, what's he saying over here? The fact that he says, we'll intermarry, shows that normally they didn't. So Shechem says, you know what, we're going to make an exception for you people. You're so holy, you're so great guys, we're going to make an exception, we're going to intermarry with you, and give our daughters. And it's interesting, if you look at the expression of the Pasuk, B'nei Sechem, give your daughters to us, and take our daughters. Who's in control? Yaakov. No, Yaakov is in control. He says, give your daughters to us, meaning you guys can give, and take our daughters. So whatever you guys want, you'll give and take. But you guys are, who's a politician? Because when he spoke to his own people, he spoke this in reverse. It's interesting. When Chamer had to convince his people to go through the circumcision, he said, we'll give them our daughters, we'll take their daughters. Shechem made it as if they're going to be the big machis. But when he came to speak to Yaakov, he changed it around. You give us your daughters, take our daughters, whatever you want, you do. Bitanu teisheva amongst us as equals. And as the Barbanel continues and says, the fact that he says you live with us shows that according to Shechem's laws, according to the bylaws of the city, foreigners are not allowed to live in the city. And this explains, by the way, why Yaakov Avinu had to buy a part outside the city. So this is another reason, because they didn't allow foreigners into the city. So Yaakov had no choice but to buy something outside the city. And also he said, you can do business, which is normally not acceptable. So what happened over here? Vayomer, yeah, they weren't much better. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Shechem el aviyo ve el achiyo. So now Shechem says to the father, all of a sudden they're negotiating with Yaakov. They finished negotiating with the brothers. And now obviously they went into the tent, or Yaakov came out, whichever way it was, to speak. Vayomer Shechem el aviyo ve el achiyo. Shechem said to her father and brothers. So after first Chamer gave her the introduction, now Shechem gets the chutzpah to speak. And he goes into more details than his father did. And he makes a financial proposal. He says, listen, Em sechem b'einechem, let me gain favor in your eyes. Whatever you say to me, I'll give you. Whatever you want for this shidduch, I'll give you. Harbu alai me'ed, I'll give a lot. Me'er umaton, eksuba, Rashi says me'er is eksuba. I'll give her a large amount for the marriage contract. Umaton, and a lot of gifts. Ve'etman, I will give kasha teimlu elai, whatever you tell me. Whatever you tell me, I'll give you. You want dowry, I'll give you dowry. You want gifts, I'll give you gifts. You want a big suba, whatever you want. Utnuli as an idol, you should just give me the girl as a wife. That's all I'm asking. The whole time it's without a hay. And I didn't want to go into it before, because most of the places in Tate is spelled without a hay. And therefore, in fact, that's why the Takas say, all over Chumash Bechlal, Naido is written without a hay, except one place it's written with a hay. Because Naido without a hay is Nad, which is a young lad. A young lad means they're still kids yet, you know. So therefore, the Torah is saying that they were all kids. The Naido, she wasn't even, Naido usually is 12. Where is it written with a hay? He brings it down over here. In Devarim Chav Beis Yotes. I don't remember.
Rabbi Nar in Yiddish is a four.
Yeah.
And you're not saying that.
Nar in English is a lad.
That's the Hebrew.
Nar in Hebrew is a lad.
Nar in Yiddish
is a four. Because most kids act foolish, yeah. Most kids act foolish. Okay, so that's the story. So now the brothers have to answer. There was a proposal put on the table. Number one, the land will be open, they'll do business, they'll give whatever you want, they'll give them tons of money. So now the question, do the brothers accept the proposal or not? So he said, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov v'shchem v'shchamer, Oviv b'mir m'vayidabeiru. The children of Yaakov answered Shechem and his father, the Mirbo, with wisdom, with clever. They answered him cleverly. Vayidaberon, they spoke. Asher time yizdina achesim, because he had violated the din of their sister. The wait? Huh? Because they violated din of their sister.
What?
They say we
can do business together,
The question over here is, earlier in Chumash, when Eliezer came to find the shidduch for Rivka, and he came to the house of Besuel, and Lavan, the son, spoke first, Chazal speak about the chutzpah of Lavan that he spoke before his father. The question over here is, the brothers are also speaking before the father. Why aren't they criticized for answering and not letting Yaakov answer? What happened to Yaakov? Why isn't the Medrash criticize the brothers for speaking in the presence of the father? So the Mefarshim explained very interestingly, they did it out of respect to Yaakov. They did it out of respect. They didn't want Yaakov to be able to answer and respond on such a humiliating affair. By Lavan and Besuel, the question was a shidduch. But they're asking for the girl, a normal thing. They're asking for a shidduch. Well, how does the brother get into the picture? Who's the brother to talk? The father should talk. So Lavan had chutzpah instead of Besuel. Here, they're answering to a humiliating experience. So the brothers didn't want, out of kibbutz av, out of respect of the father, they didn't want Yaakov to answer. What should Yaakov answer? They knew Yaakov wouldn't want them to marry him anyway. They knew Yaakov wouldn't agree to the shidduch. So they put Yaakov in a situation where it's very difficult for him to speak. So the brothers said, you know what? Let him out of the picture. We're taking over. But it says, why did they answer? Asher timei. That's what the pasuk itself is answering. Why vayedaberu? Why did they speak and not Yaakov? Because asher timei is dina chesim, because he defiled dina. That itself is a reason why that. Now, Yaakov Avinu's children, the Torah says over here, with adding the word b'minima cleverly, the Torah is saying it never entered their mind to allow Dina to marry Shechem. And if you notice in their answer, they're not going to say, yeah, she can marry him. They're going to say, we're not even negotiating. We can't even negotiate until you do a bris. It's not even up for negotiations. It's not that the brothers thought, okay, after the bris, we're going to let her do. No, there's no way they thought about that. The brothers said one thing. There's nothing to negotiate. If you want to negotiate, the first thing is do a bris. Then we'll negotiate. What did the brothers want to do? They wanted to get him a bris and then kill out the city.
13 brothers?
No, two brothers did it.
Only two?
Yeah. Shimon and Levi.
Oh, you said Shimon and Levi.
First of all, Binyamin wasn't born yet. So there were only 11 boys.
But only two did the kill.
Yep.
What's the population of the city?
No. No.
Are these regular 12-year-old boys, or are we talking about giants here?
You're talking about very unique, strong individuals that fought for a cause that they believed in, and they knew nothing is going to stand in their way. I mean, this is what, and in fact, not now, because it's getting late, and by the way, next Monday night there's no class, as I mentioned before, but in 2 weeks we will continue. There's a lot of interesting lessons from this whole story, and I'm just going to leave you not with the explanation, just with the concept, and that is that the whole concept of a kid being bar mitzvah, we learn out from Shimon and Levi killing the whole city. And there's another question over here also, which is really Mordechai's question. If they're speaking in the presence of Yaakov, and Yaakov understood what their plan was, obviously, right? Because Yaakov didn't comment about the plan. So Yaakov understood that they didn't think about intimacy. They just wanted to weaken them by circumcision. So why did he get angry at them when they did it? If he agreed to the plan, he didn't like the plan, stop it at the beginning. He didn't say anything. Then the brothers did it, so he gets angry.